Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Amen. Well, this is Vision Month, and so what we want to do today will be quite different for us in that we want to give people an opportunity to come and share a little bit of their heart for 2016 as to what they are sensing and feeling that God's calling them within their departments to see happen. And, you know, this is flowing out of our strategic plan and things which we'll be covering also this morning a bit. So first of all, I'm going to invite the wonderful Louise, who is representing the host team this morning. So if you have no idea what hosts is about, you're about to find out. Go, Louise.
Thank you very much. So my name's Louise. I run the host team with my mum, Joan Rantry. So to begin with, what do we do? What does the host team do? And this morning when you walked in the door, one of our beautiful host members would have welcomed you. So someone spoke to you as you walked in the door and made you feel included and part of our service this morning. During the service, the host team are the ones that are handing out the offering envelopes. We pass the buckets along the row and then we count the offering during the service and ready hand that on to be banked. On a week we have communion, which, and you haven't figured it out, every second week we have communion. Our host team set up the trays. Again, they pass them along, make sure everyone has communion and is served. And then we pack up, wash up, ready to go again in 2 weeks' time. After the service, so we host team are the guys that set up the hub station, also pack that down so there's a place to go so you can find out how to get involved in Compass. One of the things we've changed for this year is the food. So rather than doing a banquet table, we now serve you food. So at the end of service today, you'll see some host members floating around with plates of cake. And cake makes everything better. So we're serving that this year directly to you. We want to bring a personal touch and a smile and a conversation with our morning tea. And finally, at the end of all that, we vacuum and we make sure the room looks better when we leave than it did when we arrived. So One of the things I really like about Compass is that we're only 8 years old, which means every single one of you will remember what it was like to walk in here for the very first time. You might not have been in the right room, or you were overwhelmed, you didn't know anyone, and it was awkward. It's always awkward. And part of what our host team are trying to do is reduce the awkwardness. So we want to have people that smile at you and welcome you. And when we have communion, that you don't have to look around bewildered, but the tray comes to you and you know what to do with it. At the end of service, we'll bring you food. We'll tell you where the coffee cart is. We want to reduce the awkwardness and make you feel loved, make you feel God's presence and his love in our actions, our words and our smiles. And we think that's a vital part of the Compass culture, this authenticity and this love and this community, that you walk in the door and you feel part of who we are in an instant by just being here on a Sunday morning. So now this is my recruitment spiel, is we have... I'm honest. It's okay. Authentic. So there are... 11 people at right now in my host team, and that is it. And there are a lot more of you than 11. And part of our vision for this year is growth and exponential growth. And 11 people cannot handle that growth. So I think hosting is one of these jobs where if we're doing it well, you won't even notice that I was here. You didn't notice that I smiled at you as you walked in the door, and you didn't really notice how much work went into setting up communion or packing it down at the end of the service. But you start to notice when we're not doing our job very well. So I need your help. I need more of you to join my team so that we can do this with excellence. So I have 11 people and I need 16. That's it, 5 of you. That's all I need this morning. Excuse me. So the idea is 4 people on each week so we can do the job with excellence, and you'll only be on once a month. So again, you can be part of another team or maybe just balance of life, you only on once a month. You can have the other weeks off, you can turn up, you can just be present. So if, very helpfully, we did spiritual gifts 2 weeks ago. So if you had something like hospitality or helps, service or encouragement, they're great spiritual gifts to be part of my team. There's not a lot of skill involved. It's pretty easy. We can teach you everything you need to know. You just need to be genuine and want to be here and want to show God's love to people. So we're going to pass around some sign-up sheets in a couple of minutes. If you fit and think you'll be part of it, it's a great way to get to know people and just get involved. It's really simple. We would love to see you on our team. Any other questions, come see Mum or I. Thank you.
All right. Who thinks Louise should preach one day? There you go. There we go. Exactly. Vote one for Louise Rountree. Louise Rountree for PM. All right. What goes Anyone guess what goes with the hosting first thing in the day? Setup. Okay. Does anyone know who's responsible for setup and pack up? Rod. Where is Rod? Rod, come on down. You have 2 minutes.
2 minutes, man. She took longer than 2 minutes. I only get 2 minutes, man. Given I've only got 2 minutes now, I won't go into that details too much of setup and pack up. We will go straight to the recruiting phase. We also need probably half a dozen people to join the setup and pack up team. Setup and pack up, I reckon, is a great way. If you're newish to church and you're not involved, it's a great way to get involved because you're just working together, you're doing a job. I don't know about the girls so much, but guys, great way to get to know other guys. You're working together, you're lifting chairs, you're putting stuff away, you chat, you get to know people. It's a really easy way to get into a group. So I encourage you to do that. We've probably got 6 or 8 spots to fill. We've lost a few people. We've got some gaps, and I'll just quickly tell you a few of the gaps. So Eldon, we decided at the start of the year, was on the setup team, and he's also doing youth, and he's also doing young adults, and he's also doing the band. So we thought that's probably enough for him. He doesn't really need to do setup and pack up as well, so is that fair? So we said, mate, that's enough. Tutu, he was on the roster, but we said, mate, you're doing setting up the coffee cart, you're serving coffee, you actually can't do it because you're not available because you're doing the coffee thing, so we let him go. So these are the people we need to fill spots for, right? Gleno has been on since the start of Compass, and he and Viv, I checked with him to ask if this was okay, but he and Viv have bought a house, and it's a lot further away than they used to be. So it's just not practical for him to come here at 8 o'clock and then go back and then come back again. So if you're in that boat, and I've spoken to people about joining and they said, oh, we live, a long way away. So I went, that's all right. It's not practical for you to come and then go home and then come back, but it'd be really practical to do hosting, say, because you just turn up at 9:30 and then 9:15 and you can stay... And do the hosting thing, and it's not so inconvenient. So if you're thinking, I can't do it, I live too far away, we'll find somewhere else for you. We'll find a place for you. So the other benefit, the last benefit, as Phil alluded to before while you were all talking and not listening to him, Julia and Lucas got married yesterday. And I don't want to, take all the responsibility for them getting together, but I'm just saying they were on setup together, and all I'm saying is there's no one from hosting that I know has got married, so set up, it's an add-on, it's just an add-on.
Wow, that's funny. Okay, so as you heard, there's the opportunity to sign up, and so there will be clipboards that will be going around in just a moment. Please read the top is a description of what you're putting your name and contact details down for, whether that is the setup pack-up or whether that is the host team that you've just heard about. So there are different clipboards for those different roles. We're also going to hand out one for the blokes in a minute. So if you can just, at this stage, just hand out the host and the setup pack-up, please. Speaking of hosts, don't they do a great job? I mean, we have this philosophy as a leadership team. We want to be prepared, not cope. And so when it comes to growth and loving and caring for people when they come in through the doors, we want to be prepared for that and not have to cope with the growth that we believe God is bringing. So as Louise said and Rod have said, we've got numbers, but if we were to, say, have not just 4, but if we had, say, 6 people a week for the host team, for example, we would be well and truly prepared for at least 200-plus people to come in here and to be well cared for. And so, we just want to throw that out there, that all of us have a part and a responsibility in this family, and would love you to be seriously thinking about following through on that commitment. And so the next one that we have that we're going to hear from this morning, who's going first, chicks or blokes? Ladies first? Okay. You can both come and stand up here together because then you can just flow straight into it. But for those of you who don't know, Lester and Colleen, who are husband and wife, oversee. So they banter this way because they can. We're not in South Africa, mate, so just none of that. All right. Okay.
Okay. Compass Chicks. Put your hand up if you've been to Compass Chicks. Yay. Put your hand up if you've not been to Compass Chicks. Okay, now I know who to stalk. Okay, Compass Chicks. Okay. Through Compass Chicks, I want us to be God-honoring women who are being equipped to understand our worth, firstly, and to embrace our gifts and live God's mission in our lives. I'm committed to provide opportunities for Compass Church's women to draw closer to each other, but also to help each other on our journey towards drawing closer to God. And along with supporting each other and encouraging each other and building relationships. So that's what I see. I see our aim as women, as wives, as mothers, is to share and build our faith together as we journey through the ups and downs of life. That's the reality. And I really want to seek to uphold the scripture in Titus 2, verses 3 to 5, which exhorts women to help, to teach, and to minister to other women in the various areas of our lives. And I'll read the scripture to you. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be self-controlled, and to be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So why Chicks events? For me, it promotes and creates opportunities and a safe place for women to acknowledge and freely speak about the challenges that we face, to know that you are not alone, and to be encouraged constantly to lean back into God, and to keep and constantly take everything back to Him. These events are a combination of fun. Would anybody agree with me who's been there? Yep, it's a combination of fun. Sometimes a bit of free entertainment. There's lots of food for thought always, group conversations, and a time where we can build relationships. I want Chicks events to be life-changing. I want it to be an experience where we have the tangible Holy Spirit presence and opportunities for prayer. I see a stronger desire for more of God's presence and spiritual hunger. And lastly, through Compass Chicks, we want to continue to build on our culture of care as Compass Church. As women, I really feel we need to be accountable to each other, and we really need to be transparent about how we're going with Jesus. We need women to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, who assist in spreading the good news. We should be strong women of God, strong for our families, strong for our friends, strong for our colleagues, and be a strong presence in the communities we find ourselves in. So 2016 for Compass Chicks, I'm excited and I'm expectant for deeper relationships, for empowered women, and for all of us as Compass Chicks to become more like Jesus.
So for those of you who know me, I'll keep it brief because I'm a man of few words. Yes. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him in his own spear. Or with his own spear. So in a nutshell, that's the vision for Compass Blokes. To get in a pit on a snowy day and kill a lion. In other words, not to be a bunch of wusses, to actually be faithful warriors, victorious men of God. And those of you who've been to some Compass Blokes events, you know, like the ladies, etc., we have fun, just more of it. We have more meaningful times just to build those relationships and actually to be like Benaiah, who was only mentioned like once or twice in the Bible, but is in fact someone that we can aspire to be like and look up to. So, I see Compass Blokes as a commitment to building community by strengthening relationships amongst blokes, to unite us in Bible study, prayer, ministry, fellowship, and accountability, to become a supportive environment that touches the lives of the entire church family and the community within which we live, and to promote mentoring opportunities that lead to significant, vital relationships. Because men, we're not good at that. And this is important. So wives, husbands need to be kicked out of the door to get to blokes. So no excuses. And if you don't come, I will find you. Thank you.
Excellent. Something that we're initiating this year, we referred to it last year, was we want to give blokes the opportunity to engage once a month in a blokes-only small group kind of environment. So the options that we're going to present before you on the clipboard that will come past you, men, is the choice of a Monday evening or a Saturday morning early. So we're looking at something like 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning, so you can come and then get home before maybe some of the kids get out of bed or your partner gets out of bed and you can get into your day. So it's just once a month that we're looking to do this, or a Monday evening. Michael will be overseeing that one, and he'll be able to kick that off at about 8:45, 10 to 9. Probably go through to about 10 o'clock. So you'll be able to have dinner and things with the family and then go and hang out with the blokes on a Monday night. So there's two options that we're going to present. So those clipboards will go past you. The other clipboard will go past you. And please express your interest and details so that we can just gauge around those time slots. That would be really greatly appreciated. Well, we have a fun-filled youth group in our church. And anyone see any Instagram or posts? Yeah, well, Alden decided to initiate himself as the joint youth leaders and go through the front window of the Compass Church offices, and we just said it's about time. Okay, you don't find that funny. Okay. No, he is okay. He's obviously here today, and he's only got 12 stitches, so that's okay. So we're glad he is okay. But putting that aside, I think it's great that we actually hear from our youth leaders. Katie and Eldon, come on down.
Thank you very much. I'm not laughing. I've gone through the grief stage. I was, you know, felt sorry for him for a while. Now I'm angry. And then blame. What's blame? Then what's the last one? I don't know. Anyway, it's all good. No, we're yeah, can you see? No. We are very, very excited. We've kicked off this year booming. We are loving it. We are loving these guys, and we're really passionate about youth. It is where our hearts are. Our kind of theme for this year is it starts now. We really believe that it doesn't have to wait till these kids are 20, 25, 30, 35, that they experience God, that they think the God things for them, that it starts now. It starts when they're 12, 13, 14, that they get to experience God and actually learn to rely on Him and lean on Him and dig deeper and dig deep roots. So that's what we're really believing for this year. Really believe that it starts now. It doesn't have to start if they think later. It starts now. So we have an awesome team alongside us, which Eldon will kind of introduce you to.
Awesome, yes. We have a great team that around us. So if you'd actually like to stand up, can we have Claudia? We have Josh. Put your hands together for them. We have Jade. Where's Jade? We have, where's Anthony? Anthony's away, he's at work. So Holly, where are you, Holly? Holly's out. Well, anyway, we have an amazing team. And we're recruiting. yes, no, we do have a fantastic team, and we meet weekly now, which is fantastic. We've changed it up. We've heard from God, and that's an exciting thing. Taking faith steps, and you know what? God honors that, and He has this year, and we've seen that already, the fruit of that. So we meet Fridays now, 7 till 9 o'clock at the office. And the way we've kind of structured it this year is fortnightly we have kind of like an outgoing, fun night that you can invite, the youth can invite their friends to, and it's not that kind of non-confrontational, thank you, Katie. And then on the other week we have what we call Why God, And this is essentially Youth Alpha. And it's a great place where the youth can ask great questions, and they already have. And we get to teach them, and we love that we can actually teach our youth what we believe in, like why we do what we do. And, ask those great questions that we've all got, and we get to answer them. So that's kind of how we've structured the year.
Awesome. Our little pitch this morning is please, we want your involvement, we want your support. Please don't think youth is this side thing that just happens on a Friday. We're not a mini church on the side, we are the church. So please come alongside us, support our team. If you've got cool ideas, we'll take it. I'll take a better idea than indoor slip and slide. So, no, we would just love, we would love your support. We've got an awesome bunch of youth. We really, really love these guys. So please, they're going to be sitting in the service with us. We're going to be getting them serving you on the host team, Louise. We are going to be part of this. And so please don't see them as like a separate kind of thing. We're all in this together, and we are the upcoming generation. So yeah, thanks guys.
All right. And if I can have the incident report by Wednesday, that'd be great. All right. If you're new to the life of our church, one thing we do annually is a schools tour, and that has grown over the last 5 years to something that is really significant for the size of church that we are, for what we can do, is quite incredible. And the guy that God has brought into our world and into the life of our church to oversee that and coordinate that is this incredible guy. And so let's listen, Artie.
Thanks, mate. I actually want to see the insurance claim form of how you're going to explain the front window of the office got broken on a slippery slide. And I'm glad I'm not on youth anymore, because I would have ended up in the front window of the deli if I'd gone down through the slippery slide. Which... I might not have stopped. I might have ended up in Hawthorne. Anyway, our schools tour. Let me explain our schools tour, because people think, what's that about? Once a year, yes, we have our schools tour. And what we do is, the last 5 years, we've brought out speakers from the United States and facilitated sessions, 45-minute sessions in schools all around Victoria. It's a really big time for us. It's an exciting time. And I wanted to just share with you our purpose, our passionate purpose about schools tour. We want all young people to know they have a hope and a future way beyond and regardless of what the world tells them. They are unique, planned, valued and deeply loved. We are committed to sharing this in an appropriate way in educational settings. We believe the Holy Spirit carries this message into these young people's hearts, and nothing can hinder this when we remain faithful in participating in God's mission to change people's lives. That's our purpose. That's our heart. One of our deep purposes as a church is to maintain a kingdom heart. And that is that we're not about getting credit for us at Compass. It's about God and others that we serve getting that credit. We want to participate in being a church that partners with other churches, other communities, other parachurch organisations, so that we help them serve. And we're happy to sit in the background. We're happy to be very, very quiet about that, because that's a way that we can honestly serve others. In 2011, we started our schools tour with Preston Centuolo, as part of the Youth Alliance, doing 6 schools in our region. As the years have moved on, we've expanded with another 2 speakers, with Seth Franco and Reggie Debs, and we've had the Nubian Gentsa dance troupe come and actually present a couple of times too. So as of this year, I'm really excited. Michael's getting more involved with me as far as schools tours, and we're thinking and dreaming and praying about the future, and really excited about some things we want to sort of put before you this morning. We're taking a big step of faith this year, and we're going interstate. And we're looking in September for 1 week. We're going to do 2 days in South Australia, 2 days in Tassie, and 1 day in New South Wales. So it's exciting times as we sort of dip our toes into expanding outside Victoria. Also, we're looking at developing like an Aussie schools tour team, a bunch of speakers that maybe that we can have and facilitate within Australia, and that would sort of complement what we're doing with the guys overseas. Michael and I also want to develop or source some wellbeing programs that we could run ourselves in local schools to sort of value add our connections and our relationships with them, support them in different ways. This year and last year, we started up our senior lounge at McKinnon Secondary College. We've got an awesome team, mostly of the youth team that are with us. And every Thursday lunchtime, we set up like a common room or a drop-in room for the senior students to come and hang out with us. And we're getting sometimes 100, 120 come in. Students, 50, 60 of them will stay around. So we want to see that grow. And we're kind of thinking, God, what are you doing with that? Is there something we could do extra down the track to build those relationships with the young people? Just some stats I've been thinking about since 2011. I estimate we've facilitated around 187 presentations to around 60,000 students, conservatively. So think about our small little church. We're a big church with a big heart. And that's 140 hours of speaking truth and life into the hearts of our precious young people. Our big dream, so Michael and I, and I want to say that kind of like dreaming is about not saying this is not just what we would like to see happen, but laying it down before God, and we're just willing to accept what God wants to make happen, and we want to get on board with what He wants to do as much as we want to put out what we want to do. So this is the big dream. Our desire is to reach 250,000 young people all around Australia through our schools tours in the next 5 years. To have established relationships with churches in each state of Australia to facilitate this with us. And by the end of this year to have a financial plan in place to sustain and grow this work accordingly. Point three is there for Karen Hooper. And I do want to say some big thank yous. Not about recruitment, this is thank yous. Thank yous to you. Thank you for your support, for your assistance before and after our schools tours, because it's a big week, there's a lot of lead up. Thanks for your prayers, and a massive thanks to your finance, because not only us collectively do you put towards the schools tours, but I know individuals that give, and give generously to the schools tour, and I'm just so thankful for that. I don't take that for granted. We don't take it for granted. We couldn't charge the schools what it costs us to run, so without you guys, it doesn't happen. Without God's motivating heart to make it happen and moving your hearts to give, it wouldn't happen. And I do want to say, Joy and I, we have a bunch of supporters that have been with us for 15 years, and they support us in our two-day role here in our schools tour role, and give about $25,000 a year towards me doing this work. So they've got a kingdom mindset. These are people outside our church who believe in you and what we are doing. And lastly, I want to give thanks to God for all that He's doing and all that He's going to do. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy. It is truly phenomenal what the guys do in schools. And just a little bit of a news flash is that we have our schools tour the last week of May. We have Seth Franco and Reggie Dabbs here for that week this year. So we'll have Reggie here on the 23rd, I think it is, of May, preaching here. And then the school's week happens after that. The week after that, what has literally just been able to be confirmed in the last couple of weeks is that those that remember Sean Trinder, who's gone to Indonesia, based in Manado, what Sean's asked us to consider, which we've been able to line up, Seth Franco just so happened to be free the week after our school's tour. So what we can do is we're actually expanding to Indonesia as well as a church with our school's tour, and which is a phenomenal thing that we can take this message of hope and love to the kids. And no doubt Seth is just going to absolutely go off over there. And so directly after the week here, taking Seth to Indonesia to do a schools tour there for a week for the first time ever. So, we are a groundbreaking, pioneering church, and we just really sense God is so in this. And so, Artie mentioned around the support, again, I reiterate that, and thank you for your support in that. And as you know, or if you don't know, early in May we have a schools tour giving day. But what we're looking to do, I'm very conscious as a pastor, the whole kind of money thing, I understand the sensitivities around that. As a church, we don't talk about money much, but one of the things we do is twice a year, One in May, which is going to be our like our Global Perspectives Giving Day. And what that will encompass is our schools tour, but also our work that we're doing in Malawi. We don't want to keep having sort of like a variety of different offerings. We're just going to, schools tour fits under our Global Perspectives heart and mission and purpose, which is we want to have a local presence, state, national and international presence. And so there'll be one day in May where we're going to ask you to be thinking and praying about giving towards the schools tour and our Malawi project particularly. And then in the second half of the year, we have our first fruit. So they're the two major giving opportunities that we have as a church. So if you have any questions around that, please go and see Artie or you can speak to myself. But maybe you want to start praying about how you might like to contribute to our Global Perspectives Giving Day. Well, we have no doubt had a bit of talking this morning. So what I want you to do is just stand up, stretch your legs for about a minute. If you need a toilet break or something like that, but then we're going to get back and we've just got something that we want to wrap up this morning with. So stand up, stretch your legs. We'll be back in just a minute. All righty. Let's grab our seats. That's more than a minute. Can I just want to encourage all those that are going through the Lent journey. Just to encourage you to hang in there. Let's keep praying and seeking God and really believe and trust that what God is putting in your heart to see happen in 2016. And as was mentioned earlier, I want to give people the opportunity to be prayed for in just a moment around your goals and plans for 2016. And so today we just quickly just want to recap. If you weren't here last week, just as a matter of recap, we touched on Genesis chapter 6, the story of Noah and how God saw him as a righteous man because he walked with God, and God gave him a very clear, specific plan to build the ark that was a vehicle for salvation for humanity, something that had never been done before. And I take great encouragement out of that I believe it's still God's plan and purpose today. That he wants to give people plans and strategies as a means of sharing his love and seeing people come to that eternity-changing relationship with and through Jesus Christ. You understand? You with me? Cool. So what we began to do is to look at how God gave a plan, but before you have a plan, you need a clear mission and vision. And last week we presented the Compass Church mission, which is we're called to our world, igniting active faith with a pure life-changing truth of Jesus Christ. And each word in there is pregnant with meaning, and we will kind of unwrap that over the coming months. And then what we did is we handed out the vision document. Now, hands up if you got one last week, you got the vision document, one per family. If you didn't get one, as a leader, you should already have a copy of this anyway. But if you didn't get one last week, you don't have a copy of our vision document, can you please put up your hand and our team will run you one of those? That you can go the host team. They have been kept busy today. They have done a stellar job. Do a stellar job. If you didn't get a chance to sign the appropriate clipboard when it came past, they'll be at the hub. I've been informed for you to go down and have a look. So what we looked at is that vision is imperative to be able to develop a plan. And there's this great tension that exists between the vision, the ideal that we believe God's calling us to, and the current reality in which we live. And I use the rubber band illustration around that, if that brings you back to that moment. And what that's called, the creative tension that exists or can exist between having a vision and understanding your current reality but wanting to walk towards the fulfillment of your vision. And so I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to read that document, but as always, we would love to hear any questions, thoughts that you may have. I've had a little bit of feedback, which thank you for that, and certainly appreciate that. But if you've had any questions, please, again, feel free to email, call, whatever the case may be. I'm just going to get the board members that are here to stand up, just so that you know who you can go and talk to if you can't get me, that they can answer the questions. So we have Mulyadi, we have Michael, and we have Chrissy. So they will be able to answer your questions also. Ian Roundtree is our treasurer. He's not here today. And Nat is in grommets today looking after little kids. So she's somebody else that you can speak to as well. So just to give you a bit of context before we just give an outline and hand out what our strategic plan is for 2016 and probably possibly slightly beyond that, is that we went through quite a extensive process to get to this point today. We were recommended a particular consultant. His name is Kim Hunt, a great godly man that has a lot of experience in the corporate sector, but also does a lot of work with churches and not-for-profits in terms of defining and refining mission vision and then developing a strategic plan. And so spent 4 to 5 hours with him just being drilled. It was like an inquisition. It was like exhausting, but it was energizing all at the same time. Questions that related to the mission that God has called us to fulfill at Compass Church. So there was 4 to 5 hours with a couple of weeks to process and for him to distill that information into some drafts of eventually what we see today, our mission. And then following that, there was about 8 hours of just questions around the vision that God has, that clear mental picture of the preferred future that God has for us as a church. And that was, again, got to say, pretty exhausting. It was just question after question. It's like, my goodness. It's like, at one stage I asked him, mate, do you find this stuff energizing? And he kind of looked at me and laughed. He goes, well, yeah, I do, but it's the next bit. It's when I take all this information and I distill it down and I take all the core themes and things and I put it into a document. And I've gone, wow, people actually do that and they're energized by that. I'm just like, you're the man. But after we left there and kind of he came back with, he doesn't necessarily hold to vision statements, but a picture paints 1,000 words, which is why you receive a document and not a statement. So hopefully what you see there is an idea. It's a picture. It's not definitive. It's not complete. It's a work in progress. It's not set in concrete. I don't know how else to say that except to say it's not complete and it's not the full picture. And so, yet, hopefully it gives us a little bit of an idea, I guess, of scale, direction, purpose, meaning for why we're going to do what we do. So coming out of that, we gathered together 23 leaders and we presented to our leadership group the proposed mission and vision, and there was some rigor and discussion around that. And then following that, there was 2 4-hour meetings on a Sunday afternoon from 2 till 6. So I don't know what anyone else is normally like, Sunday afternoon, 2 till 6, but I'm usually non-compass mentis. I'm like usually kind of not really there. And we just had to be there, so we were there. And so he took us through this whole process of looking at our mission, vision, and then he wanted to do a reality check. Some of you might know it as a SWOT analysis. And he wanted us to really evaluate honestly where we felt we were at now, our current reality, getting a grip on where we're at now and what do we need to do, what are the next steps that we need to take to take us in the direction of the fulfillment of the vision that God has given us. And so that was the process. So there was a 4-hour period there, and then a month or so later, there was another 4-hour period where we came back and we distilled that down to what we have and what we'll present to you today. So if you have any questions around that, for me, it's been the most, rigorous, exhaustive process that I've personally been through, in that as a leader I felt like I've been turned inside out, and there's a great level of vulnerability when that happens. And so there's a lot of stuff that's just out there now that I kind of like knew was in there, but it wasn't until somebody asked specific questions was that stuff drawn out. And so that was part of the process. So what we came to as a leadership group as our key objectives for the next 12 to 18 months are simply listed, and you'll get some notes in just a minute that will elaborate on this. But what we've got is, number one, we desire and we believe we need transparent communication in no particular order. Secondly, prayer and fasting has to be one of our key objectives. Discipleship has to be one of our key objectives. Serving God, a culture of servanthood in the life of our church, a culture of accountability, integration, and finally community, holding on to who it is that we are, and also the outreach extension of that through Compass Community Care. So straight off the bat, I can say that Shawantha and the team through Compass Community Care, which is a natural extension of who we are, It's a separate entity for legal reasons and the tax deductibility status and all of that sort of stuff. But Compass Community Care is part of who we are. They're not just out there doing their community care thing. We're all part of Compass Community Care. We're all part of Global Perspective. We're all part of pastoral care. And if you didn't know that, you do now. And if you don't like it, that's okay. We'll find you another church to go to that you do believe in what you're going to be a part of. I don't say that rudely. Just saying it's too important not to go, I belong here, I'm a part of this, and I want to be on board. So I'm just going to ask Michael to come, because we've asked Michael to oversee the implementation specifically of this strategic plan. And if we can have the notes passed out now, that would be wonderful. Again, you guys have done a lot of cardio today. Good work. Good work. Your calves will be loving you, Lou, for that, in those heels. So, yes, Michael.
Thanks, Bill. I just want to mention, I mentioned this to the leaders in those meetings, but if you weren't there, then this is for you. If you were there, then you're just going to have to hear it again. That document, when you read through that document, for those of you who have and for those of you that haven't, I would encourage you strongly to read that. But this is not new stuff. I've had the honour, privilege, whatever it is, to be hanging around Phil for the last 20 years and doing ministry stuff with Phil for the last 20 years. So for some of you, when you read that stuff, it might seem new and it might seem fresh, and it might just, maybe when you listen to the process, sound like this is just ideas that that Phil's been having. This is stuff that God's had in and on Phil's heart for the last 20 years. So this is not fresh. This is not new as such to Phil. It's new for us to read it. It's new as we look at it in this document form, but this is the stuff that God's been laying upon Phil's heart for the last 20 years. So as you read that and as you think about it and you pray about it and you see where it fits for you, keep in mind that this is something that God's been building and doing and developing for the last couple of decades in Phil's life to prepare him for a time such as this and to get us ready in the life of the church. So as Phil said, coming out of this, we spent a bit of time with rigorous, healthy, strong-worded discussion in what are the areas that we need to address to help us move forward to where we believe God's calling us to be. And there's a real tension with all of this stuff that we need to be as planned and as practical and as focused as we can be, but at the same time, we are very much just open to God leading and guiding us. So there's a real tension in that of making sure that we're listening to the Holy Spirit constantly. We're trying to follow God's leading and guiding. But we also believe that he's given us a bit of a plan to follow to help us move forward. So we've got seven key focus areas that Phil's mentioned. Christy and I have been working. We've been putting together some teams to work on each of those key focus areas, and we've got some outcomes that we want to try and achieve that we came up with as a collective group of leaders. So the teams have got a framework. They've started to meet. So over the next little while, you might see a few things begin to happen. I'll introduce you to the leaders of those teams in a second. But it's really significant for us as a church because we're not looking to replace what we're doing. We're looking almost to refine what we're doing. It's a great opportunity for us to go, is the stuff that we set up and started when we're a church of 50, is it still relevant now? Do we need to adjust it? Is there a hole in there that we haven't thought about that's now arose? And more so than that, when we get to a church of more people than what we are now, will we be ready for it? The other great thing about it is it gives us an opportunity to stop and go, hey God, is there anything you want to say to us? Where do you want us to go with that stuff? Because that's what we really, really want to do. Because our teams at the moment, they're starting to meet and they're thinking and they're strategizing. And we've been incredibly blessed with some really skilled, gifted people in different areas. People that are much smarter than I am and much smarter and have different skill sets to what we do. And God's done a great job. Surprisingly, he had it under control and he planned it all. But he's done a great job of just bringing together the right group of people for us to be able to roll this stuff out and to get started on it. But as well as strategizing and using their natural skill sets, these guys are praying, because we're not just with all of these areas and all of this development, we're not just looking for good ideas. We're not just looking to figure out what church is doing that thing really well, and can we implement that? We're actually seeking what God would want to say to us. In each of those areas, hey God, what do you want us at Compass in this season to be doing? What's your strategy? What's your idea? So they're not just good ideas, they're God ideas. And I guess to be really clear, that the foundation of this and the foundation of this stuff, the foundation of it is prayer. That as well as us meeting and as well as us talking and having some healthy, strong-worded discussion, the basis of it is prayer. And everyone who's been involved in the process going away and saying, hey, God, what do you want to say here? So it's not just a plan. It's not just some structure, or it's not just a framework. It's stuff that's come out of prayer. So we really believe that it's God-inspired. We really believe it's stuff that God's laid on Phil's heart for us as a church and for us as a leadership team, stuff that God's put on our hearts and then that we all get to experience the benefit of. So it's exciting. It's significant for us as a church in our growth and development as a community, and hopefully for us as individuals. So our areas, to go through our areas quickly, that we're going to be really looking, that we believe we need to make sure we're all over as we grow. The first one, if you've got your little sheet there, is transparent communication. So what we did is we came up with what we think that looks like for us as a church. So it's about clear decision-making processes, and it's about people finding out the stuff that they need to find out when they need to find out. Our desired outcome for that is by the end of June 2016... we'll have created a culture where most people feel that Compass communication is transparent and it's clear. So we're going to be doing some survey stuff with this because we want to make it so that we can actually gauge how we're going. We want to make sure that we're actually heading in the right direction with it. So Chrissy's heading up that one. So thank you, Chrissy. You can ask her any questions you like about that. Our next area is our prayer and fasting. And this is all about our communication with God, both on a corporate level as a church, and then also in our personal lifestyle and in our personal rhythms. So we've got our desired outcome there, that by the end of 2016 we'll have a thriving prayer culture. So one of our benchmarks is that corporately we'll see 50 people at our prayer meetings, but it's more than that. It's about us all having a heart of prayer, and us as a community and us as individuals having a heart of prayer, that would be our reflex action. And Daphne's heading that up for us with the team. Our next one's discipleship, and this is all about us being a follower of Christ and living out biblical convictions with consistency. So the process of moving forward in our journey of faith and having people around us to do that with us and help us grow. And we've got some really good outcomes that we'd love to see, that 75% of all of our active members are part of a successful discipleship pathway. And it's an ongoing pathway, because we're well aware that you never get to a point in your journey of faith where you've made it and you don't need to grow and you don't need to develop and you don't need to get any closer to God, that we want to have opportunity for that ongoing. And also that 100% of our leaders are actively involved in a discipleship relationship as we get towards the end of the year, and Malcolm's heading up that. So they're the first three that we're really looking to focus on. The other ones, which I'll go through quickly, are things that we'll roll out towards the second half of the year, and you'll hear and see more about those, but we're looking at serving God, which ties in beautifully. We could probably tick a lot of this off if you all sign up to the sheets later on down at the hub, that by the end of we're a church who serves. That same way that Christ came to serve, we serve one. We serve in the life of this church, but we also are serving in our community. And that's a great way to show God's love. Accountability is the next area. That our yes would be yes and our no would be no. That we would just have a culture and a sense of responsibility. That if we say we're going to do something, we do it. That we would be known as a church who is a church of their word. We would be known as individuals, as people of their word. Integration is the next area. And this is all about people from the moment they walk in the door for the first time to the moment that they're working their way through a pathway of discipleship, that we look after the people that God brings into this church. We help them grow as individuals. We help them connect into the life of this community. We help them develop in their faith, and we're walking the journey with them, and that from the moment they walk into wherever we all end up, that they're supported and they're loved and there's opportunities for them to grow. And so we've got a whole bunch of stuff that we want to do around that so people feel connected. And as Phil said, our other one is community, and Shavantha is doing a great job, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that you'll hear about next week in what he's going to do this year. So that's for us as a church. That's the stuff we're focusing on. We've got some framework around that. We're really excited about what God is going to do. So if you've got any questions, please come and see me about this stuff, because there's a lot of other info, obviously, that we don't want to hear about right now. But we're really working hard to be diligent, to be wise stewards, but we're very much open to God's leading and guiding in this. And as I said, we really want the foundation of that to be prayer. There's an ad on the radio at the moment for an equipment hire company, and their tagline at the end is, "We are just very good at what we do." And I really like that, and I'd love for us to be able to say that about our church and about our faith, that obviously we are trusting God and we're operating out of God's grace and mercy, but we would progressively be working at just being very good at what we do here in the life of church. So as you read through that and you think about it and you pray, I'd ask that you'd get on board, that you would really consider 2016 the year where you could say you are all in the life of Compass. If you can't say that, please come and talk to us. We'll find somewhere where you can connect and be all in. But we would just really ask that you would consider this year, just get on board 100%, read through this stuff, pray about it, and come and speak to me if you've got any questions about it.
Thanks, mate. Wow, I just noticed accountability's got 1C. Anyone else notice that? Put your hand up if you notice that. I want to see who you are. So we need you people to proofread our stuff before we put it out. Gotcha. Okay. Snapshot. And I missed a number. Oh, wow. Thanks, April. Appreciate that. That's my daughter. Details. We're all good. We're all good. I guess in closing this morning, and thank you for listening today, but I think it's really important that we know clearly who we are, what we're called to do. We can't be united about something if we don't know what we're supposed to be uniting about. And so we wanted to be clear about our strategic plan and what it is that God is calling us to be and to do. And so this morning, the last verse that I'd like to read to us, it relates to the first song we sang this morning, which actually Troy Webster wrote that song, if you didn't know. Can we put our hands together for the worship team who Troy with the worship team are writing? And look, watch this space, because they've got some great stuff coming our way. But one of the lines in that song makes reference to this verse, Philippians 3:13-14. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We forget what's behind, good, bad, indifferent. We thank God for all his blessings and mercies. But we want to look forward to see his kingdom come, his will being done. And so hopefully what you have before you maybe creates and stirs discussion, conversation, and also question. As I've said, we always welcome question. I'm going to ask, just in closing this morning, we'd love to pray with people who have come prepared with their goals and plans for this year. But last week, if you can remember back a week ago, one of the things that we need to do to see a plan become successful, if I can just have the worship team come up, please, is that we need to dedicate and consecrate our plans before the Lord. And what we want to do is, as a church, we just want to commit this plan that we have in place. We want to dedicate it to the Lord. We want to consecrate ourselves before God. We want to dedicate this plan to God. We believe it's from him. And so this morning, I would love for us to just spend a moment in prayer. But I've asked the worship team to sing this song for you just to listen to first time through. And I want to encourage you. I heard this song last year, and as soon as I heard it, I went, we've got to have this song during Vision Month 2016. And it was just one of those moments where I went, no, the words in this song are so pertinent to us where we're at, but to what we're believing to come to pass in Jesus' name. So just encourage you just to listen to this song. And then after, I don't know whether the guys might invite us to join in on the second time round or something. I'll leave that with them. But even if you want to just close your eyes and just let these words just wash over you and allow God to stir your heart and to just really begin to stir faith in you, that we have a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we can even dream or imagine. I don't know whether you believe this or not, but what's written on paper here, some of you might think it's big, but God looks at it and goes, good job, guys, but guess what? I can do more than that. I can do more than that. We have this God that's able to do all things. And so this morning, let these words really minister to you, and then we want to give people an opportunity to be prayed for with your goals and plans for the year. Thanks, guys.
Can you hear the voice of the Father inviting you to walk on the water, risk it all, answer the call and enter in? Now we stand on every promise, we're not afraid. Our faith goes before us. When we believe, we're gonna see supernatural. And we're gonna see what we're praying for. We believe every single word, stronger than we've ever been, standing on its promises. We're gonna see the impossible. We believe the supernatural, stronger than we've ever been. We are standing on His promises. Of the kingdom to declare the day of our freedom. We believe we're gonna see the supernatural. Oh. And we're gonna see what we're praying for. We believe every single word, stronger standing on His promises. We're gonna see the impossible. We release the supernatural, stronger than we've ever been. We are standing on His promises, 'cause we are standing on the promises of Christ our Savior. We are standing on the promises of Christ our Savior. Of Christ our Savior. If you want to sing that with us, we are standing, 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 standing the promises of Christ our Savior.
We're gonna see,
and we're gonna see what we're praying for. We believe every single word, stronger than we've ever been, standing on His promises. We're gonna see the impossible. We release the supernatural, stronger than we've ever been. We are standing on His promises. Stronger than we've ever been. We are standing on His promises. Stronger than we've ever been. We are standing on His promises.
Amen. Do you believe that today, church? Does anyone believe that God has great things in store for your life? He's got great things in store for us as a church. Why don't we stand? And I'd love for us right now just to be holding that piece of paper with the plan that we've got. I believe it's from God, but let's not forget, like I said last week, God will always have the right of reply to anything that we do in the life of our church. He takes preeminence, and He will always have right of reply. We will have plans, but it's His plan that we want. Let's really commit and consecrate ourselves, but dedicate this plan to the Lord this morning. Father, we just thank You that, Lord God, You are such a truly incredible God, that You are the creator of the universe, of life, everything in it. That, Lord God, You are just so big beyond our comprehension, but yet You make Yourself known and real to us. That You, Father God, desire relationship with us. You desire the best for us. Thank You for Your abundant blessings and grace and mercy and peace that You have given to us, and we thank You so much for that. Lord God, You don't desire that we keep that to ourselves, but that we would, Lord God, share it with everybody that we come into contact with. So, Father, as a church, that we want to be united around Your great commission, around Your great commandment. That, Father God, we want to seek first Your kingdom, Your righteousness. Father God, this morning we commit this plan to You. We dedicate this plan to You. Father God, we believe it is from You. We believe it is for You. Lord God, anything that we desire to see happen, Heavenly Father, we desire that it would bring glory to Your holy, majestic, mighty name. So, Father God, this morning, we humbly come before You and we ask for Your blessing. We ask for Your ongoing wisdom. We ask for Your guidance. We ask, Father God, for You to make a way. Lord God, what is written on paper looks big. It looks massive. It looks like, how on earth can this happen? And so, Father God, we acknowledge that for it to happen, it has to be You. So, Father, as Your word says in Psalm 90, verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So, Father, we dedicate this plan to You. Father, as a church, as a people, I pray individually, but together, corporately, we consecrate ourselves before You this morning at the start of this year, and we lay it all down at the foot of the cross and say, Father, Your will be done. Your will be done. We honor You this morning. I pray Your blessing upon Your people this morning. For those that need to go now, Father, I just pray that You would grant them a wonderful week. Father, may Your face shine upon them. May they know Your presence, not just around them, but they are carriers, that we are carriers of Your presence to this lost and dying world that's in so in need of a Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.